Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 252. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. Got a bunch of guys on the show. We always bring a bunch of apps, and hopefully we talk about some apps you guys have never heard of before, and you can install them on your phones and enjoy them. But every once in a while, we like to mix it up, and I really, really enjoy these types of shows we do. This is a developer show where we have a developer of an Android app or apps on the show with us, and we just talk about his app, what it's like living the life of a developer and all kinds of cool stuff. So hopefully we could enlighten you guys on that. And let's just get started. I'll introduce the co-host and we'll get right into it. Let me start with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Good day, Steve. I will just throw this out there. Steve, you don't have to worry with this. I'm getting you. If anyone ever offers you training for Six Sigma, just run away.
Oh, I've been there, man.
I have not. It sounds scary. What is that?
It's like, I feel like if I talk about it, I'm going to be hexed. So okay. I'm not going to go any further.
All right. I'll take that advice, man. It sounds like good advice to me. Thanks, Dor. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
If anybody ever walks by you with a label maker and they say, hey, we're going to 5S your office, turn and run out the door.
Another thing, I don't know what it means, but I will definitely take that advice. Has that happened to you?
Yeah, that 5S is like the precursor to Six Sigma. 5S is where you go around with a label maker, and if you've got a bowl of candy like on the middle of the conference table, you have a square around it that says candy bowl, just so everything goes back right where it's supposed to be.
Am I the only one not following Eric on this?
You don't want to. Don't just move on. Just right. Nod your head in agreement. Step back slowly. Yeah, and just move on.
All right. I'll do that. It's good advice as well. You guys are full of it tonight. I wish I understood one word of it. So let me just introduce our developer for this week. Last week we talked, or maybe it was the week before, we talked about a very cool game called Bic that we reviewed from Zotnip, the developer Zotnip. And Eric, our scheduler, graciously and through much effort, found the developer and asked him to be on the show, and he agreed. And we're super happy to have Mike Pinto from Zotnip on the show today. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for coming on and making a killer app.
Oh, thanks for putting it on the show.
Sure.
I was really happy when I got the email. I'm really happy whenever I get an email just from anyone, like just saying like, oh, we featured the app, or oh, we played the app.
Well, the thing about it is, well, who brought it? Eric or Dor?
Dor.
Me.
Dor. When he brought it, I fell in love with the whole design of it and just the originality of it, like that sausage-headed guy.
Yeah.
On there. Like, we're going to get into all that. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, my story might be a little different than a lot of people who are app makers, but because I actually came from a music background.
Cool.
And for most of my life, I ended up making money, though, from like building web pages. So I've always been kind of programming. And then I got into game development, and I decided that Android and iOS seemed like a good choice for releasing my first game.
So is Bic out on both platforms?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, tell us, I got to ask you first, personally, what kind of music do you do?
I'm a jazz vibraphone player.
My gosh. That is niche, if I ever heard
it. Yeah. Yeah, so I jump from one niche to another niche almost.
Oh, that's cool. I like to do computer music these days, but we'll talk more about that after the show. We don't want to bore the audience. But nice. Tell us about Bic and how you came up with this.
Bic started out, well, first of all, Bic is it's a retro point-and-click adventure game. The idea is to kind of give a modern... Well, the feel of the game is like old games from maybe, I guess, 20 years ago now, 15 years ago probably. So it's like adventure games from back then, but I tried to update a little bit of the mechanics to try to make it not so frustrating, a little more forgiving. I added a lot of auto-saves. But the artwork is who artwork was done by my good friend Neil Numberman, and we really tried to go with like a Nintendo-ish look, slightly modernized. And then the music, I did all the music on the computer, and that is all pretty modern synthesizer-y with almost like an 80s vibe to it.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. I have to say the graphics are more like old PC adventure, like Space Quest type graphics to me than Nintendo.
Yeah, I guess like Space Quest, it's almost like a hybrid between like Space Quest 1 and 2 and then sort of the coloring from like the VGA era.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Very cool that you did the music and everything on this, man. I love this. Eric and Dor, chime in. What would you like to ask Mike so far?
Well, one of the things about the music is in certain parts of the game, it gets scary, and the music really intensifies that. I just started playing the game recently, and I got to a point where I was walking down the trail, and it got all foggy, and I had to find my flashlight, and that, it got scary at that point, man. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, I used to... I also should give a shout-out to my writing partner, Patrick Chase. So it was really like a three-man team. I did the programming and the music, and then Pat helped me with the story and writing, and then Neil Numberman did the art. But as far as the music, I also used to do a lot of experimental music, so that kind of comes into play there, where what you're hearing there in the flashlight scene is actually, I don't even know how to describe this instrument. It's like a bunch of strings just on a piece of wood. It's not like a guitar, but it's just like kind of really raw strings on it. And I just like kind of stab at it. And then I put it through like some reverb, and then it just makes it really spooky.
Oh, so that's not even a synthesizer. That was like real acoustic stuff.
Yeah, it gives you that organic feel.
Nice.
What's the deal with the sausage-headed guy?
You say sausage. I always thought kidney bean.
Okay.
I've heard both. And I've heard some other things, too. But I don't know. That's just kooky. Neil Numberman came up with that. I loved it.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of, I don't know if you remember the game, Zach McCracken.
I remember the name. I don't think I ever played it.
There was an alien in that game. That was one of the first adventure games, graphical adventure games. And there was an alien in that who had a very similar head. So...
So it was inspired by Zach McCracken.
Yeah.
Okay. Dor, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, what I liked about this game, to be quite honest, was it didn't overly rely on any one thing. The graphics were enough to get you to understand what you're doing, but the story and the music made for the game. It was like everything came into combination. Was there games that you looked at as like inspiration from your youth that you thought, you know, they got me playing them because it was more than just, you know, the controls or the images or anything?
Yeah. That's like the adventure game genre in general is something that really appeals to me because it's not about how fast you can do something or how like good you can do something. It's more about just being in the story and taking your time and you just kind of explore these environments. But there's no, like, you don't have to level up your character. You don't have to worry about, oh, I need this, like, special weapon to defeat, you know, this guy, and I have to level up that weapon, or I have to do this really quickly. Yes, sometimes there's elements of those things, but they're only, like, in there as little just fun sidesteps. But ultimately... It's what I like about it is just kind of listening to the music and just being in the environment, reading all the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I kind of liken adventure games to almost, it's like watching a movie or reading a book, yet you can take your time and explore and go further than what's right in front of you.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to say, to me, the biggest refreshing part about the game is there's no constant grinding of things where, you know, you just got to keep playing and playing and playing and just leveling up or whatever.
Right.
There's no stupid levels with stars involved with it. It's literally, I like it because it's not your stereotypical normal Android game from today. But when you play it, you literally have to sit down and play it like a game, not like some little activity. Mm-hmm. So that's what really got me wanting to talk about it on the
Thanks. That means a lot to hear people say that, because that's actually part of like what inspired me. Because I've had like devices since like Windows Mobile, and I've always wanted, you know, games on there that are like meaningful experiences, and it's kind of hard to come by games that have, you know, real deep kind of, I mean, not that BIC is super deep, but they have more of a, you know, depth to them than just clicking on this and that as fast as you can or getting the star.
That's really commendable that you wanted a game like this, so you just build it yourself. What is the story? Like, what's BIC about?
BIC is about, it's really kind of revolves around two or three characters, and the little boy whose name is BIC, he's a human, and he goes on a camping trip and gets abducted by aliens. After he gets abducted by aliens, he runs into some other aliens who happen to also be captured, and he befriends them. They escape their captors together, and then BIC goes on crazy adventures with these two other aliens and eventually saves the galaxy.
Wow. And apparently they make some sandwiches and eat some brownies, according to your description on the website.
Yes.
Makes it some sandwiches. Is that in reference to Bad Santa?
No. One of the things, at first it turned out to be kind of random, but almost every puzzle involves some kind of food item. So once we realized we were doing that, we just kind of went with it.
That's awesome. What else would you guys like to ask Mike?
Well, I'm kind of known as not the gamer, because I'm really not good at games. And your game, honestly, is going to take me years to get through. But I vividly remember making my first sandwich on this game. And I remember trying to get through the fire to make that. And that took forever for me, because I'm a tinkerer. So there's probably no object in that kitchen area or that whole area that I didn't find and play with and try. But I don't grasp how things go together sometimes, though.
But that's the point of the game, really, also.
That's what's awesome about it. And that's why it's going to last. I'll definitely get my money's worth out of it, because it's going to last me way longer than, like, say, Dor or someone who's good at playing games.
Yeah, because, I mean, we spent a long time, like, trying to make dialogue for a lot of different items in a room, so that when you click on them, you're not getting, like, some random response, but you're getting, like, a thought through.
Right, and there's some surprising things that happen when you use different objects on different objects, too, as far as
a certain
weapon, you know, pointed at a sink does something you would not expect, or things like, you know, it's just neat. I mean, that's just in the very, very first level. It's cool.
Yeah, this is what I'll say. A lot of the reviews I read about the game almost thought it was funny to almost say something insulting, like, oh, the game is so dark, but, you know, the game is, you know, I've never seen a game talk about suicide but be fun, or, you know, saying almost stupid things. This is the way I literally would review the game, and I'm sorry if you or anyone else out there takes this as an insult, but you remember the old game Adventure on a Atari 2600?
Yes.
There was nothing fancy or special about the game. There was nothing that made the game special until you actually sat down and started to play it. Then you found yourself getting engrossed in what was simple yet complex, but fun. That's the way I feel when I'm playing this game. The first time I sat down and played it, I literally felt like I already understood most of the game and I just had to do it, but it was figuring it out. Hmm. Now, in that game was the first game supposedly ever with an Easter egg. And like Eric said, you can find some pretty unique interactions. So I'm going to ask you, is there a Easter egg or a surprise in the game that people should look for?
I would say there are many mild Easter eggs. There's like because it's basically about if you have your laser gun, for say, and just kind of using it on anything you can think of. And sometimes it's something you might not even think you should be able to shoot, and you might shoot it, and who knows what's going to happen.
That's so cool. Very awesome, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, great game. Tell us, like, how is it like being a developer and getting things? Like, I know a lot of people listening might want to develop apps. Any advice you could give people who are thinking about getting into the development game?
At first, it's super intimidating, but it's ultimately super rewarding. And monetarily, it doesn't always work out. So you definitely got to find a love for it before you seek out a monetary incentive, I think.
Now, have you gotten the word out on this game? How have downloads been?
Downloads are okay. They're not extravagant. I think on Android we're up to a little over 1,000 downloads, and it's been about a month. On iOS, we luckily got featured.
Oh.
So that was like a huge windfall of purchases.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very cool.
But
Well, we can't match, I don't think, the Apple Store promotion.
No.
But
we don't match it, no.
Everyone listening to this, go check out Bic and buy it. I take that as a challenge now. He says windfall and Apple in the same sentence, and we're on the Android team, so we got to like support Bic, guys.
Oh, yeah. And I'm actually a diehard Android, and I mean, not that I like don't like Apple, but I'm just not a fan of using Apple products myself. But like when I saw that we were featured on Apple and not on Google, I kind of got a little thing. I was like, ooh, am I going to have to start buying like Apple products now?
No.
Oh, man.
It's just because that's where all the everybody with too much money is, and they just have to buy everything that's featured automatically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, see, now this to me, listen, I'm not trying to cause wars. I'm not trying to speak bad about anybody else's platform. I'm just saying this, people. We, every day, we vote. Every day. You might not realize that, people, but we vote. Whether we go to Starbucks and get a coffee, or 7-Eleven get a coffee, or Dunkin' Donuts get a coffee. Where we go, we vote. Because we use our money there. Everyone needs to place their vote on Android. Go to the Google Play Store, B-I-K, search, buy. It's only $2. I cannot implore you enough. Your time reward versus payment made, substantial, great. It's much more value than going to a movie or anything else, and costs a whole lot less.
Yeah, I also got to say two things, actually. One, by voting, by buying or downloading, that's actually a really good point, because as a developer, when I see iOS giving me over 4 times as many downloads as Android, that makes me like reconsider what kind of resources I'm putting into the app. And so the next time, I might not release on Android right away. I might have to wait and release after I release iOS and to see if it's even worth it. I mean,
oh my gosh. You guys hear what's happening here? Well, you have the power to change this. Save Bic on Android. We want to see Bic too.
Well, I think Dor brings up this point a lot. You know, support the developers. Give them the incentive to keep developing by supporting them. You know, that you say, I've heard you say that more than once, Dor. Just to at least encourage them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nothing tells a developer thank you more than money. And it's a sad truth of life. You can say thank you to Mike. You can walk down the hall. He seems, hey, Mike, thanks for the game. And he'll be appreciative. Don't get me wrong. But if you say, hey, Mike, here's $2. Hey, thank you. I can go get a coffee now. You know,
yeah,
that
literally
speaks volumes.
All right. Good stuff, fellas.
Let me ask you real quick at the group. So when we were figuring out the price for the game, we originally released it at 99 cents for, I think it was a week at 99 cents. And then we upped it to $199. Now, for me, that it still like feels like an incredibly and painfully low price to charge for how much time I put into this. But I feel like the buyers, people who buy games on Android, it's just, it doesn't, I'm not sure that they buy games for more expensive than that. But I mean, what do you think?
I think it's good. I think it's a good price to start. I mean, it's 99 cents, I think, would be too cheap. $1.99 to me seems like the sweet spot for an Android app. I don't know.
Well, I'll put it like this. It's social engineering 101. If you price your game at 99 cents, people look at the game and think it's only a 99 cent game. You know what I mean? Where if you say $3 or $4, they're going to think that's a $3 or $4 game. Why is that a $3 or $4 game? Let me go look at this. Let me go look at the video. Let me look at the picture. Let me see why they're asking that. There's more than a couple of games on Android, I will tell you, that are $15 up that actually do good. The hardest thing about Android is hitting that viral limit of now you're making a lot of sales. That's the hardest thing because there's so much competition. You have to stand out.
Yep.
And honestly, I'll say a 99 cent game, a $1.99 cent game, isn't going to stand out. I think the perception is value. So if it's a $3 or $4 game, I think people would literally value it more.
And especially when they go and look at your reviews and your ratings for your game, when they say, oh, it's a $5 game that's got almost 5 stars, solid, you know.
Yeah. And yeah. And I'll say this, more than a couple games I know start up in the market for like $3. If they don't do good sales, they literally drop it down to like a 10 cent one day sale kind of thing just to boost their numbers and then put the price back up. So it looks like, oh, they had 10,000 installs and they're $4. Well, all these people can't be wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That yeah, I wanted to end up at $2.99. That was kind of where I'm aiming for.
Oh, I was the guy literally, like when we first started this show, pounding my fist. I'm a Linux user. I'm cheap. I am never buying an application in my life unless I absolutely have to. There's no doubt in my mind, I've spent more money than these other guys on the show now, because it's not to me. I've grown past the point to where my main reason now for buying apps is not to buy the app. It's to tell the developer, please keep making apps. You're making good apps. Please keep making apps. So now I literally, when I look at any app of any kind, how much value am I going to get out of this? And do I want this guy to keep moving forward? I ain't gonna lie. I pirated the game at first for 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I went back and I paid for it. Because I said, this game's worth the money.
Nice.
Door is a special way of putting that too. What do you call that?
Well, extended free trial. And I'll say this, now in the Google Play market, I believe it's now you have a 2 hour. It used to be 15 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. Now you have a 2 hour window. So even if you're on 3G speeds, go buy the game, play with it a little bit. Trust me when I say you're not going to ask for a refund.
Right.
Very cool. Awesome, man. Great conversation. Thanks for all the insight, Mike. And thanks so much for coming on the show and making a killer game.
Of course. Thank you so much for featuring the game and just talking about it and playing it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I hope everybody who is listening enjoyed the show as much as we did. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. See you next show.